Hi, this is Jason Stein, and welcome to another episode of the Wellness Renegade Podcast. Here we explore the crossroads of wellness entrepreneurs like you and me who are committed to making money while helping others live healthier lives. People who are going up against big pharma, insurance conglomerates, and the mainstream medical models. Each episode, we journey into the challenge and breakthroughs it takes to own your own business, pave the path through conventional medicine, and truly become a wellness renegade. Our sponsor today is Jane App, and I'm not just a fan of Jane App, I also use them. If you're looking for an all-in-one practice management software, it can help you really make a difference in your practice. So welcome. I'm here today with Chen Yan. Welcome, Chen.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
I'm really excited that you're here because although we run in parallel circles, we haven't really spent a lot of time face to face. For the listeners, can you share a little bit of your background of how you got to the business that you own now?
So I started out as a pharmacist and at first really enjoyed getting to know the different tribes and cultures and worked on Native American reservations, which is why. But then I started feeling jaded going to work every day because I would give these medications. And I mean, I remember handing out bagfuls of medications, 5 to 20, but typically I would say 10 was like the typical norm. And it used to just drive me crazy that sometimes I felt like the medications, I always thought to myself, like, aren't there better ways? I'm confident there are better ways in this. And so I felt really dissatisfied in that setting. You know, little kids would also come in with, like, they would get immunization shots and then they would be given a little cocktail of medications, even when they weren't hurting anymore. And I thought, oh my goodness. Right. And so. At the time, I didn't know what to do next. I just felt like I had to get out of there because the one thing that I noticed was that other pharmacists around me, some of them were unhappy in their jobs too. Like they would have these computer screens and it would say like 5 years and 2 days or something.
They had a countdown to retirement.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I thought, oh my gosh, not a way to live. So I thought, well, how could I really help our healthcare system be more integrated? And, you know, I don't think it's going to be, well, and actually at the time though, let me step back for a moment. At the time, I didn't really know what to do except I thought, well, I got to get out of here. And because I noticed other pharmacists around me were, you know, were unhappy, I thought, what if I could help them get into jobs they enjoyed more? So fast forward 5 years, I had started a pharmacist recruiting business, sending pharmacists to Native American reservations on travel assignments and other kinds of opportunities, hospitals and other kinds of settings too, in terms of placing pharmacists. And I used to always think that if I just make more money, then I could do what I really cared about outside of work. But when that happened, when I got to a place where I'd grown the business and to 7 figures, I thought there's something missing. Like I did a lot of soul searching and then finally came out on the other side of things and just felt like I had to stop pretending because there's a part of me that still felt like I was selling my soul for people to just be on drugs when felt like I had actually a secret life in the way where, you know, super holistic and I still don't use a cell phone. I can't imagine ever using one. And it's pretty extreme. So
that's today. You don't use a cell phone these days?
No, I don't own one. I mean, I occasionally use my husband's aside from that. Like if I really have to be on the road and I have a client call, but it's very, very rare. I just don't like to use it at all.
I love that. You must be in like 0.05%. I mean, that's amazing in and of itself. And so you sell the company for 7 figures and what's next?
I didn't sell the company, but what I did was I ended up deciding to help holistic health practitioners with growing their practices because I feel that many times
I mean, I don't feel like it's going to be the insurance companies or drug companies or the government changing things. It really starts with you as a holistic health practitioner being able to get the word out about your practice. And when people are asking for it, that's when things will change. And so, but many times you go into school to help people, but not necessarily run a business and end up struggling with that side of things. And so from my experience of having business experience, then that's what made me to decide to help holistic health practitioners with growing their practices in a way that feels good for them and also allows them to help more people while having themselves taken care of, both financially and also feeling really fulfilled by their practices.
I love that. That's part of the mission of the podcast. And so how many practitioners, wellness providers, do you think you've helped over the beginning of your business till now?
Yeah, I mean, we've helped thousands of practitioners and in different ways. And I will say that from my experience of helping many practitioners is that did you know that 30 to 50% of people are introverts? But what's taught about how to grow a practice or how to grow a business, it typically assumes that you're an extrovert.
Right.
And so that's why, and actually I feel like, and that's like the general population, right? 30 to 50%. But I feel like in the holistic health field, there's also a higher percentage that are introverts. And so it could feel very draining for many of us introverts to try to follow the extroverted approaches of like constantly having to put yourself out there, post on social media and do all sorts of things, networking. You know, it's like, it just feels really exhausting. So that's one thing that I've noticed over the years. And like in terms of we tend to help our clients who see themselves as introverted visionaries and have a big vision, but would like to be creating their practices in a way that feels good for them as in respect of their natural flow of energy as an introvert.
I love that. You know, I'm more of an extrovert, but my wife's an introvert. She's probably not like that I say this on the podcast, but she got into Harvard Medical School. And she's never put that in her bio because she just doesn't, like, she's very shy in some ways. And so I want to go back to the pharmacy part, but before I do, I have a question for you. And so we're talking about introverts that are holistic health practitioners. And what is one tip? What, like, social media, everyone does it, but I'm not sure it's that effective. What's one tip you have for introverts to help their community and be noticed more?
I love that you bring that up because I feel like social media is talked about so much, but the reality of its effectiveness from having talked to thousands of practitioners, right? Like literally we've spoken to thousands of practitioners through conversation and of all the different approaches out there in terms of what's actually working to bring in patients for the practice, organic social media is usually not one of the ones that even show up on the list, right? It's like, it could be supportive, but it's not typically like a main way of attracting patients. So then one approach that tends to work really well is to be able to educate. I would say there are two approaches that I've noticed work really well, especially for introverts, is to be able to educate and reach more people at once so that we're not having to always expend our energy all the time, like constantly, right? Because that's one hallmark thing about being an introvert, because there are some misconceptions about being an introvert, like, oh, introverts are shy or they're like a wallflower but that's not necessarily the case. So defining characteristics of an introvert. In fact, I actually know a practitioner who talks a lot, but then he'll say, oh my gosh, I'm so an introvert, right? And one defining characteristic is like, do you get recharged by being around other people, or do you, as your primary way of getting recharged, or do you recharge more by being by yourself? So that's one thing. And then also sometimes as an introvert, like feeling like sometimes we might think a little bit slower, like, cause our brains actually work a little different than extroverts. So extroverts receive information, they receive it and they process it at the same time. So they already react, right? Whereas an introvert, sometimes I used to wonder if something was wrong with me because of this, because I would like take things in and then it would take a while for me to process it. And then everybody else, like, especially, have you ever been in those group situations where it's like people are jumping in and then there are some people, but some people just don't seem to say much, you know?
And right. I usually think the person that says the least sometimes is the smartest in the room.
But yeah. And so then as an introvert, like that's also a characteristic too. Like we might actually, like it might take more time for us to process things, but yeah. But then one advantage of that is then, you know, if you actually have something to say, people are kind of surprised that you're actually saying, they turn their head and they're like, oh, so yeah. So going back to the educating and reaching more people at one side of things is being able to do that by speaking. So whether it's educating the public by about what your modality or how you could help them. Why? Because many times if people don't know about you, it's because, I mean, many times that people aren't coming to you is because they don't know about you or how you can help. But
right.
If you're able to educate them and they get to see if they resonate with you or not, they're much more likely to want to work with you versus like posting on social media or running ads or networking kinds of stuff. So that's one approach that can work really well as an introvert. And you don't need
to take that strategy and just share a little bit of a recent story where I have a client on the East Coast and they take insurance. I'm not a huge fan of insurance, but I know some people take it, some people don't. And this client, this insurance pays $500 per acupuncture session. Legitimately, that's just what they do. They realize that it's worth it and they're paying it. And so I said to my client, I said, have you thought about seeing if you can get the name of the HR director of the company and go give a talk so you can treat a lot more people on that insurance? And I love what you're saying because I want to say this out loud again because I want to make sure the listeners really take it in. The stats, both for Chen and I and our patients and our clients, aren't fully there on social media getting them what they're looking for. And so it is interesting if you're spending a lot of time on social media and you're not getting the results, it may not be an effective strategy for you and there's other ways to do it. And so you said two ways and one is public speaking. What's the other?
Yeah, totally. And I also want to emphasize about the public speaking side of things that it could be in person. Or it could be virtual. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to leave the house like as an introvert. Sometimes that's really good to be in your pajamas and not have to go out. And then also it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to do it all the time. For example, you could be busy with just even a couple of them per month, like two a month or something like that. Right. Like I would say
I have a quick question and I apologize. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to interrupt.
And then I'll get into the second strategy too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm going to interrupt a couple of times on the podcast because I don't know introverts as well as you do because you're introverted, right? And so when you are recommending that introverted wellness providers give public talks while they're at their home, does that create like a better environment for them to just show up in their own space? And it really, although it's one to many, it really is one to their computer.
Yes, I love that you bring that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that's one of the first things that reaction is like, what? I'm speaking. So I think two things to think about that. Like one, like you just said, which is perfect. It's like, yeah, it's just like you and your computer. You're at home. It's comfortable. Another is that if you're effective with it, then you don't have to do that many. For example, I would say a lot of practitioners would be happy with when they do a talk in person and they experience 20% conversions from their talks, meaning 20% book with them. And on our campus, using our structures and systems, we've had clients who have even experienced 40 to 60% conversions using our structures. So that's like, if you do a talk in front of 20 people, that's like 8 new patients from one talk. So you don't have to really do it that often. And then finally, it's also like, you've got to do something about the practice, right? Like, why not just do something that where you are able to really educate people well more? Because, you know, the thing is, if we aren't the ones who are educating the public more about it, who will? Other professions? Like, you know the most about your profession and how you could best help people. And the more of us who do this, the more people will understand how your approach can really help them in an integrative way. And it will lead to more of a wave of things shifting to be where, like, I actually would love to see holistic options be first line of care in this country. And imagine like that ability for people to really go the route where it doesn't have to be mainly drugs and surgery, and they can actually get better and also with your help. So that's one of the
things. I love what you're saying, because you're a past pharmacist. You're like a recovered pharmacist. And so you're really saying that drugs and surgery don't need to be the first line of defense. It's not that they can't be included. It's just maybe not start there. And my question from the beginning of when you started talking, and you would go on the reservations and you would hand bags to patients that have like 10 medications in them, you know, statistically speaking, it's recorded that drug interaction isn't known after 3 medications, right? So it could be causing harm rather than health. And so why is it, do you think that happens? How does it ever get there?
Wait, say that again about how does it ever get there?
Yeah, how does a patient ever get on 10 medications?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So a variety of reasons, because it's just such a, well, there's this diagnosis, so we need something to treat that diagnosis. And then there's this other thing. And of course, you know, sometimes when there are chronic issues, there are lots of different symptoms that end up happening. So then every little thing seems like it requires a set of medications for, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, 10 is actually not that big of a deal. 20 might be more, but 10 is not that big of a deal. Right. And I mean, that kind of culture, it was really hard for me to really like live with.
It looks like you did this switch because you were able to make tons of money, but there wasn't any fulfillment. And what you've done is you've switched into holistic healthcare in a way where you've worked with thousands of wellness providers, but you've probably touched tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of lives, because you've helped those wellness providers be seen, be visible, and educate in a way that they're able to help more people. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And it's so much more fulfilling to be in this place where, you know, the kinds of things that people just tell me about with what they're doing with their patients and the kinds of results or differences that it's been making on their health. It's like incredible, you know? And so that's my favorite part of what I do, is being able to really see practices that are either having like do really good at what they do clinically, but they are struggling with attracting a good patient flow, or they're already pretty busy, but then they would just like to get to the next level to help more people without having to mainly be the only one seeing patients. And so being able to also grow the practice in an out of the box way, right? So it's not just like, oh, let me just continue to see patients, or let me only grow by hiring other associates or practitioners. So yeah, helping them and create practices that are out of the box. So it's definitely been super fulfilling. So
now I've been noticing trends, and one of the trends, you know, diabetes and obesity is on the uptick. You know, we're spending more for healthcare, but we are dying younger in the US. And at the same time, it's like there's more functional nutritionalists, there's more holistic health providers, there's more acupuncturists. And so with those two things happening simultaneously, where do you see medicine going, and where do you see the future of holistic health?
Well, I, you know, it's interesting. I also how would you put it? I also follow like astrology and Vedic astrology and different trends and things. And it's, there are to, apparently there are to be some really new technologies coming up in the horizon that are going to be mind blowing, like in terms of integrative types of things too. And so I feel that this time frame in on our planet, and I mean, this is some of the things that I've been, you know, learning in the astrology side of things, that it's just going to shift so fast in terms of the pace of what we now know to what we could never have imagined. Like that kind of thing is in the horizon. And it's exciting to be living in that time frame, you know. I can't even imagine how things will be like even just like 10 years from now or 20 years from now from different advances. And also it's like rediscovering ancient practices and different, like, cause we're multidimensional beings and like tapping into that part of ourselves, which has always been there, but it's just a matter of us like accessing that part of our multidimensionalness. And that all affects health too. So I feel like there's going to be an amazing, what's the right word? It's like amazing new horizons and innovations in what's going to be happening with healthcare that we can't even really fathom right now is how I feel things will change.
And so do you think that AI and computers will be a part of that?
Certainly it is a part of it. I don't think that AI can be denied in terms of its level of influence and it'll be something that will be there to support all of us. And, yeah, so I think it'll be very interesting how it all unfolds coming up. Yeah.
So I believe you're right. In the next 10 years, I think there's going to be a quantum leap in medicine and in healthcare. And how that's going to be or what it looks like, I'm not certain, but I do believe that hands-on medicine will always exist and that people through touch and through support will always be needed.
Yes, I agree. I think there's like the more there's stuff like AI, there's still this craving as far as us for connection and touch. And so that will always be there regardless of how amazing technology becomes, for sure. Yeah. And that, you know, you had asked me about like the second approach that works well for introverts, and which is this, because, you know, many times there are one undertapped avenue of attracting patients is to be receiving referrals from providers. Mm-hmm. Because many times, for example, MDs, they have thousands of patients in their practices and they have people who aren't getting better through just medications. And they know that like they would totally refer if they knew about you and how you could help. And so that's like an undertapped avenue to be attracting more of a flow into the practice. And so, for example, even if you had three providers sending one or two referrals a week, what would that do for the practice? And, you know, it's one of the few approaches where if you also get it going, you could be getting referrals even 3 months from now or a year from now and without having to constantly be marketing. So that's also really great as an introvert too. So one thing is that my experience, one of the biggest questions I often get about this is like, well, how do I go about it? MDs won't really refer because XYZ. Like they'll say something like, well, they might see me as competition, or they don't respond, or they think I'm too woo woo, you know, like all kinds of reasons like that I tend to hear. Have you heard, like, what have you heard about, like, from people about this?
Mostly that they're nervous, that they don't know how to have that language that would be engaging. And really, the ones that I hear from have never done it, they just make up stories in their head that it's not a good idea. So they talk themselves out of it. But before you tell me more, I'll tell you a specific. When I was 28 years old, I became an acupuncturist in a hospital, and the marketing director connected me to a physiatrist, a medicine doctor that did physical medicine and rehabilitation. And I just said to them, acupuncture works if you can give me your worst case scenarios. And I had really good success with someone that had a pretty complex problem. And she started referring to me every week. It was that simple. I didn't have to do multiple talks. It was like, you know, just give me what you're frustrated with. And I showed results. It wasn't just like her tossing them over. It was, let me give you one and see how this goes. And the first one had such good success that I was able to really be helpful, which was great. It was a win-win because she was scratching her head. Like, I don't know what to do. This person's in such bad shape. And Chinese medicine works that way. Sometimes it works where nothing else could. And so I think the main thing both for extroverts and introverts is just doctors with white coats, like big egos. We make up a bunch of stories that they're not human like us, and they are, and they really care about their patients and they want their patients to get better.
I love that you say that. It is true. Many times it's just like make up all kinds of stories about what they think about us and XYZ, right? And so it's just a matter of, typically, it's a matter of figuring out, well, who would be the best providers to approach? And because, for example, if you have a cash-based practice, one thing I end up hearing from practitioners is like, well, but then they will ask me if I accept insurance and I don't. And so what do I do? Right. So being able to approach, for example, in that situation, approaching practices, I mean, MDs, for example, who have more cash-based practices or concierge-based practices would be easier, you know, than going for those who have full insurance-based practices. But at the same time, the people still, if what they're doing, of course, everybody wants to pay within their insurance, like who wouldn't, right? But if what the treatments they're receiving in that kind of a model aren't really working, it's not that people who have insurance won't pay cash either. So I think that's also something to unclutch from in our head about. And yeah. And so then it's a matter of who best to approach and then how best to have that conversation or establish that relationship to a point where they would be interested in referring, because it's one thing for them to know about you and it's another for them to actually refer people to you too. So, and then finally, like having systems in place that support ongoing referrals. So that way, once they refer, it's like you continue that relationship well too. So sometimes I hear from practitioners like, oh, I do get referrals, but then it either drops off or then it's like, only stays at a certain point. And so there's room for also receiving more referrals too. And so, yeah, so that's something that our clients end up coming to us for in terms of having a system in place that really supports the providers referring.
I love that. So really the two tips, really not just for introverts, but for everyone, is to educate your population, to get off social media and to give talks, and also make personal relationships with providers that can give you referrals. Those are really good tips. And so for someone that wants more information about you, Jen, where can people find you?
Yeah, they can go to introvertedvisionary.com and then look around and you could either book a free chat with us to see how we could help you with growing your practice faster. And then also whether you would love a more consistent flow of patients, or you would love to be getting to that point in your practice where it runs more without you and helps more people while you're still making good money, like, or even more money, then feel free to reach out to us. There are also practice makeover tips and helpful growth, like trainings, free trainings on the site as well. And then it'll also be dropped in the show notes too, as far as those of you who have an interest, whether it's in educating people and speaking to get known as a thought leader and become a demand that way, including how our clients are bring in 5 to 26 new patients a month. Wow. So either that, or, you know, how to bring in a flow of referrals from providers and how exactly to go about doing that. So there's a free training that I'll make sure to have us include in our show notes. So you can just click on it and then get access to that. So yeah.
Great. Jen, I'm so grateful to hang out with you today. I had no idea that you were a pharmacist before. Like, that's new information for me. And it just brings more street credibility that you chose this rather than falling into it. And I love that you're helping the wellness providers. So again, the show notes, look in there, check out the links. And thank you for being here today.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
I'm Jason Stein. Thank you for listening to Wellness Renegade Podcast. I invite you to like, subscribe, and share.